Good evening. Hope you've had a good afternoon in the Lord. It's good to see you here. We'll be back in 1 John chapter 2 this evening. Thank you for taking out your busy day to come and be with us today and worship with us. We had a real good time in the youth zone. Enjoyed learning with them. And I looked over the 8th commandment, thou shalt not steal, a little bit in the devotional, and help the kids to kind of understand that stealing is not always necessarily taking an object and that doesn't belong to you. Sometimes by our actions we steal and rob people's joy by things we do and how we act and how we interact with folks, and so we rob them of their joy. We rob people of respect that they deserve. For instance, I told them in a classroom, some of our teachers can probably understand this. If you have 30 kids in there and one of them is constantly talking and not paying attention, they are actually stealing the time that's rightly belongs to all the students and not them. And so sometimes we have to understand that the 8th commandment is broad. It's broader than taking an object that doesn't belong. Surely that is true, but we need to understand otherwise that it's more than that. And so we had a good time discussing that as well. So we're in 1 John chapter 2 this evening. We started this last week. Three stages of Christian growth we looked at. So I'm going to read again the text. I will not go back over all that we looked at last week, but I just want to read the text again and then get started again. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, 13, and 14. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Thank the Lord for the forgiveness that we're offered through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. Verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And so we see there phrases used, little children, young men, and fathers. And so last week I told you, in my mind, I try to look at it like this, that the little children is talking about babes in Christ. Young men, of course, this is also encompasses young ladies, those that are growing in the Lord. They're strengthened. They're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fathers are also, we could say, mothers. Those that are settled in the Lord. Those that have lived by faith, walked by faith, overcome things that are different and contrary to Scripture, and lived a life that is according to Scripture. The Bible says faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so we're settled in it. We're guided by it. We make everyday decisions according to the principles and precepts of the Word of God. And so we're settled in the Lord. And so as we look at that, we understand that there is a growth process. Matter of fact, look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 17. We're settled in the Lord. We're settled in His Word. We're growing in His Word. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17. It says that the man of God, or the person of God, but that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The only way we get complete or perfect or mature is through the Word of God and growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you see that, look back up a little bit, a few verses, maybe verse 14, and let's read down. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So as you're learning, you're growing, and has been assured of. You know, you're getting settled, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this is how we grow. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that because of the Word of God, because it's profitable, because of its teaching, because we're learning the Scripture, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so there is an expectation of growth. You know, when we're born again, in the beginning of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be considered what is a babe in Christ. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Back over in 1 Peter chapter number 2. And verse number 2, the Bible likens those newborn Christians, those early saved in Christ, as newborn babes. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And so what we saw in 1 John chapter 2, little children, young men, fathers, those are stages of growth. They're helping us to move along in our Christian walk. But we start off as babes, and if we're not growing, we need to consider some things. We need to consider what's hindering my growth. What's hindered me from moving forward in my Christian walk where I am settled on some things? I'll tell you something. When I first got saved, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I had a lot of baggage. I had been doing some things that was carnal, things that was worldly, things that was not of God. And when I got saved, the Spirit of God brought life into me. I was dead in trespass and sin, and I was made alive in Christ Jesus. And then the flesh still had a hunger and a desire and appetite for the things that I had been doing. It was there, you know, having to clean up areas of my life. And so I noticed that as I began to read the Word of God and study the Word of God, I began to see things that was contrary to things that I desired. And I'm going to be honest with you, my flesh didn't want to give it up. It did just reel up the white flag of surrender and say, well, you know, here I am. So that is a growth process. Now, if I look back in my life, I can see through these years of growth that there has been a time where I rolled up the white flag of surrender. I said, Lord, I believe. Help out my unbelief. Lord, the Spirit surely is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I've surrendered those areas, and still today in my growth and my walk with the Lord, I am surrendering day by day. That's what the Bible would call, as we would say, dying to self. The flesh wants to do it. Self wants to do it. It's things that we've done. And as we look at it and we see Scripture, we see writings and principles in the Word of God, and we say, Lord, I need more of you. You need to help me to decrease and you increase in my life so I can grow. What happens when we don't do that? Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. There's some checkup. When's the next progress report your kids are getting? How far away is that coming? Is it around the corner a little bit? Y'all don't get them this? They're getting Friday?
Yeah.
You're getting your progress report? You don't know? Three more weeks? So y'all must be doing really good. You don't even worry about when the progress report's coming out. Whenever I kept up with those dates where I could hide the progress report. Because I knew it wasn't going to be good. No, that's not true, because I liked playing sports and I had to maintain a certain grade average, and I could not play if I did. And we were allowed a C average, and our coach allowed us a 1D, and that came with a spanking and heels every day after practice. Yet a spanking or with a bat. It was archaic, you know, way back yonder, you know, where they didn't even have to call my parents and ask. I didn't have to get a piece of paper signed to ask. It was just understood. That's what was going to happen. And I didn't keep those D's very long because I desired to play. And the only way I could play is to get that D, even though I had a C average. Our coach would not let us play if we had one D. One D. So Hebrews, this is what happens when you're not growing. Hebrews chapter 5. I think I lost a little some of the kids here when I started talking about what they call it. They call it corporal punishment, I think. Now, it makes it sound harsh. But it was some correction that was put into the school system when I went, and kept me in line. It did. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Listen what it says. For the time, you ought to be teachers. To be a teacher, you had to have growth. You had to learn some things. You had to gather knowledge. But the Bible says here, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have what? Need of milk. Who had need of milk? Babes. Newborn babes desire. The sincere word of God is babes desire milk. So you're supposed to be growing, and there comes a time in your life where the Bible says, at this time, you should be teaching others. That's the good thing about discipleship. You know, the Great Commission. You go out and reach people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They trust Christ their Savior. They get baptized, as it says there in the Great Commission. And then you teach them to observe or obey all things. And therefore, why is that important? Because there comes a time when they should be able to teach another. And so it says here, for the time when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. It's not profitable, dear friend, for you not to grow, because what happens is, remember, thou shalt not steal, the commandment number 8, and I said that if in a classroom setting you are robbing all the other students because you're disruptive and you're not paying attention to the teacher, the teacher's having to stop, write a referral, call the administrator, send you down to the principal, and therefore the 45-minute or 50-minute class went down to 30 minutes, and now you've robbed them of that. You know what happens in the Christian walk? When you're not learning and growing and you're not becoming a little children, are not becoming young men, and young men are not becoming fathers or young ladies and mothers, you know what's happening? You're robbing somebody else, because somebody's got to come back along and teach you the first principles of the Word of God, when you should be rightly teaching. It's a biblical principle that we teach one another. Look over in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2. First Timothy, Second Timothy, Titus. Now, we never going to get to the point where we know and have all the understanding of Scripture. God's Word is infinite. It's so vast. As we read it and study it and look through it and begin to dig in and absorb it, there's something I learn every time I read through a passage. Every time I read through a passage, I say, wow, I've read that passage 7, 8, 9 times, and look at what I'm seeing there again. The knowledge is endless. The wisdom of God is so deep that we'll never get to a point where we cannot learn from Scripture. But look in Titus chapter number 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men are the fathers. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. Remember, I told you, those that are established in charity, in patience. The aged women, well, that would be the mothers that's over in 1 John chapter 2. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not because, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good work, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. How does it happen? Because you've gone from a little child or babe, you've grown into a young man, headed to aged men or established in the Word of God, and there's been that growth. There needs to be and has to be that growth that we're talking about. Look in verses 11 through 15. This is what happens when you grow, you're able to do some things. Verse 11, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, the Cretans are always a liar, an evil beast, slow bellies, the witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure. All things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. The Bible says over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example unto the believers. But here's, if we're not growing, we cannot be an example. There has to be this growth that I'm talking about, because listen, it is a biblical principle, according to Titus and other verses that we've read and studied, that we are to be able to teach others. It's important. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's things that I come across, questions that I have been given, that I look at, and I have to honestly say, you know, I can't rightly give you an answer. I don't know that. But with God's help, we can study this out. We can look in the Word of God and we can find the answer in Scripture. But it comes because the Bible says in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's what it's talking about there in Titus, that those that are of the contrary part can't speak evil against you. You know, have you ever been sitting around... Here's an example. I was reading the other day about things that pastors, what was the topic? Things that pastors cannot do, or things that pastors do that people don't understand. And one of them was that your pastor is not perfect. He's a man like you, and he has... if he's not careful, he has a sinful nature. And then, of course, the conversation starts. It's, you know, blogging back and forth. And as they begin to blog back and forth, one guy said, that is not true, because once you're forgiven, like Jesus said, go and sin no more. So once you're forgiven, you don't sin. And he used 1 John chapter number 1, verses 8 and 9. And then I asked a simple question. That's all I asked. I put a question there and left it there. I don't have time for foolish and vain babble. But I do understand there's those that are reading and those that are trying to learn. And the Bible says they subvert whole houses, teaching things that aren't so. So I said, I don't know what a person would do in Romans chapter 7. I don't know what a person would do with the verse prior to the one you used. And I left it at that. What's that verse prior to what he used? Go to 1 John chapter number 1. He used 1 John 9 and 10. This is how convenient people are. 1 John 9 and 10, wonderful verses. I love them and live by them. I trust that you do as well. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And the word is not in us. So he's using a verse saying that there comes a time that you would sin not. That once Jesus forgives you, and he's going to the New Testament and the Gospels at the different occasions, like with the lame and man of palsy, he says, or the woman that was brought in, caught in the act of adultery, and he said, neither do I accuse you, go and sin no more. And he's using that to say, once Jesus forgives you, you have the you sin no more. Well, verse 10, don't look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So you don't have to get into a long, drawn-out argument, but I'm telling you, when you have opportunity to shut the mouths of those that are teaching things that are not true, I do say this, as you grow from little children to young men to fathers, you should sin less and less and less. You will never be sinless until that day we get a new body. So, how did you pick that out through just reading? How did you know that what he was saying was not true? Because comparing Scripture with Scripture, we know that's not what Jesus meant. We know that in Romans chapter 10, Paul said, the things I would do, I cannot do, and the things I won't do, I cannot do, because there's this law that's within me, and that law is sin. Therefore, I serve. Matter of fact, go to Romans chapter 7. Let's read that last verse, what Paul says, Romans chapter 7, real quick. Romans chapter 7, verse 25, Paul says this. There's much more to it that you read on, but we'll read the final verse there as Paul closes out Romans chapter 7. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What do you do with that? What does a person do when the Bible teaches us that it's there? The old man should die. All things should pass away, dear friend. But we know and we've lived it ourselves as a babe in Christ, like a babe, a newborn babe that's walking around. Listen, you got to change them diapers quite often. And them newborn babes, they get little granny beads underneath their neck. I mean, some of our little children, 5, 6, 7, some grown men come home with granny beads. What that is that little wrinkle thing up underneath there. Dirt gets underneath there. And it's got to be cleaned out, right? And we got to do just like with that newborn baby that makes them messes. They walk around with a sippy cup. And it don't matter how many you buy, they call them steel-proof. They aren't until you wash them the first time and lose some little gadget. before long, they're spilling stuff everywhere, and there's cleanup. That bounty cleanup. Cleaning. That's how it is with a newborn baby in Christ. They say things that they shouldn't say. They do things they shouldn't do. They harbor bitterness that they haven't learned to let God take out and remove so that they can have and enjoy the joy of the fruit of the Spirit. They do that. Pastor, I've been saved 20 years and I'm harboring bitterness now. You've got to grow out of it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. We've got to grow out of that. That is like birthmarks, or growth patterns. That's where we look at our life and we say, wow, thank God that I don't do this, I don't go there no more. And then whenever the Holy Spirit of God opens up into our lives and shows us, hey, you're awful bitter about this. And that's when you say, I'm going from a little babe to a young man. But you know as well as I do, there's some young men right now physically, 27, 30 years old, that they are arrested in mental growth. They are. I mean, a lot of it has to do with their activities. Not reading enough, not doing enough with their hands, not spending enough time studying, but fortnightly. Listen, I'm okay with you playing your games. I'm okay with you having your little game one PlayStation and all that. You gotta grow. And if you regulate moderation and make sure that you're growing everywhere, mentally, spiritually. I'm okay with you having Facebook and Instagram and things of that nature. But if you look at your phone and then all of a sudden it looks like you've been on your phone 9 hours in the day. I surely hope that about four of those was doing something productive. Really. Fish, bowl, what's that one Brother Scott likes? Jelly beans? What's he called it? Candy Crush. Do it. I mean, it's fine. We need to have a relax. We need to have a let go. But we don't need to allow it to arrest our growth. Mentally, physically, but surely not spiritually. Surely not spiritually. So there should be some growth. And as we look at these, the Bible also commands us that we are to be teachers of others, and so therefore to be teachers of others, like I said in Titus, I didn't say cover this real quick a while ago, but let me cover real quick, was as a teacher, you must have learned. How many of you ever went to a class and you knew the teacher didn't know the subject? Not interesting, was it? Not interesting at all. Not helpful. I remember the first time a friend of ours over in Greece said, you got to watch this here. It's a funny, funny movie. You got to watch it. So I sat and watched it with him. And it was Napoleon Dynamite. When I got done with her, I told my wife, I said, that's an hour and a half that I've been robbed. If you ever watch Napoleon Dynamite, you know what I'm talking about. Wow, okay. Yeah. We've got to learn so we can teach, and that's where God wants us. He doesn't want us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, where at times you ought to be teachers. Somebody's having to come back along and teach you. But I think some of you probably in here have to take some continual education classes, right? I mean, you don't, new things come out and things of that nature, and you got to go back and take some classes. And but wait, I've already been doing this job for years now. But if you want to keep up with the times, well, we've got to take continual classes every day with God. And listen, it's best just to learn the lesson, learn the precept, learn the principle, grow from it, and go on with the next lesson in life. Three stages of growth. There's that little children, that young man, and that father, those that are established. I hope you're striving for growth. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this night. We pray, God, that you bless as we go our way this week. Keep our minds upon you. I pray, God, that you'd help us as we look into the Word of God on our own and we study to show ourselves approved, that we would have growth, that we would show growth in our own Christian walk, that we'd be leaving the little children stage and moving on to the young men, getting to the fathers, those that are established in the Word, established in Christ. And we ask you, God, to protect us, help us to be examples to those without, be teachers to those that are within, and may we honor Christ with our life. In Jesus' name, amen.